Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
All right, welcome back. Cap and Haw rolls on at Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. Mark Carmen in for Big D Haw, who is down on a little vacation with his family back next week. 312-235-2525 is our phone number. A bunch of action coming in on Twitter. By the way, the Pulp's
crushed
Twitter feed is at Pontifex.
You're getting crushed on the text line. Cab will be heard if the Pope doesn't write him back, but cannot take time to write the other band member back. That's whack, bro. The Pope would write Cap back sooner than Cap write back to that Cubs song guy.
Jumpsuit. At the Catman, you're not allowed to show your knees either in the Vatican.
I didn't know that.
You can't wear shorts when it's 90-some degrees?
I don't know if that's true. That doesn't sound true.
But at at C. Giangrande, Buffon on Twitter, says, they made me flip my Hawk shirt inside out when I was there. Not sure they like Chicago in Rome. Tom Cooper, the great Tom Cooper, CSN Coop, even at Pontifex knows that the Cubs can't be saved.
That's not nice. Nor accurate.
Cap, get your Catholicism correct. The Polish Pope died. The German one stepped down.
Yeah, Cap. Let's see. Okay. 1-847, if the Pope gets back to you, you must convert. Let's say the Pope got back to you and said, it'll be done this year, and the Cubs won the whole thing. Would you make the move?
Make the move to what?
You could convert at that point.
No, I'm not giving up my faith. Sorry.
Really?
No.
If somebody came and said, Cappy, World Series this year, you just, you know, you got to give up the matzo ball. You got to make a move.
No.
Really? You're getting older, buddy. You might have to make a deal at some point here.
By the way, I got to find this out. You're not allowed to show your knees in the Vatican. Interesting. Very interesting. 312-235-2525. All right, can we talk basketball now, please?
Go right ahead.
All right, Jimmy Buckets takes the 5 for $95. The fifth is an option year. Surprise you?
No, it does not surprise me. I'm a little down on Jimmy, to be honest. God bless him for getting the money, and he deserved it, and he's been a great player. But it just seems like Jimmy has changed a whole lot from when he came into the league until now. And I get it when people have a lot of success that it's hard to keep a level head on. But Jimmy, from everything that I'm hearing, is just a guy now that really wants to be treated like a star and sort of embrace the Hollywood style of things. And the way it's playing out in that locker room, the way it looked like it played out at the end of the season with Derek and not the team, period, not impressive. So he got paid, deserved it. I hope he comes in to the next season where the Bulls are going to have their best chance to win it all. And I'm not saying they have a great chance, but it's their best chance to win it all probably in a long time as far as what's going forward. Because you would think if they don't, Noah's a free agent, Powell's got a player option, things are going to change a lot. This is their best chance to do it. He needs to come in and be willing to be running with Derek. It's Derek's team still as long as Derek's here. I hope he does that. We'll see how it all plays out, but I'm a little bit concerned of everything that's going on as far as him and his ego right now.
Do you think the Bulls have a better chance to win this coming season than they did this past season?
Yes, I do. Too much was hanging over the team with Tom, and that's not anything against Tibbs, but I think it played into the whole mentality and the way the season ended. And aside from any of that, Noah was coming off an injury. Derek was coming off an injury. Both those guys should have better seasons. You would think McDermott will take a step forward. You'd think Tony Snell would take a step forward. Nico should take a step forward. I'm actually moderately interested in what Bobby Portis can do because they thought he was going to be a lottery pick. And listening to him at his press conference and talking to people.
Hold on a second.
Yeah?
Every single team, when they draft somebody, we're shocked he was there.
I understand.
We would have taken him if we were picking higher.
I get it. SEC Player of the Year, Cappy, is only a sophomore, put up some serious numbers, can run the floor, can shoot it, steps out to three and shoots it over 40%. No, he only shot like
Why 30. Is he still there at 22?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So it's a fair question. And maybe he will be – if they don't trade Taj, which they probably won't, he might not see any time. But they're going to have a lot of options. They're going to play different. I think it's good to them, good for them to play up tempo, which is what Fred's going to do. It really comes down to Derek, is he going to stay healthy and can you play that style? Cuz if he does and they run, I think it suits them a lot better than walking it up like they did last year.
Michael on the west side. Hey, Michael. Thanks for holding. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, Cap. How are you?
How are you, bud?
Okay, two things. I believe that since Noah had a bit of a problem with his knees and Gasol is like, what, 35, that they should start Gasol, bring Noah off the bench, and that way they both could play like 24 minutes. Okay, you get Gibson in the front court, and then you can bring along Bobby Portis to play with Noah. Noah can teach Portis. And the second thing is, will they let Bobby Portis wear his headband? Have a good one.
That's a great question. That's a really good question. Michael, thanks, man.
Powell is actually 35 today.
Today's his birthday.
Yeah.
And happy birthday, Powell.
I think there's a great chance that they try to convince and tell Noah that, hey, we want you to come off the bench. We think that you can help us most playing 30 minutes a night. It'll mean, you know, perhaps help your body withstand the rigors of the season. And I think he'll do it. But he ain't going to like it. There's no way that guy wants to come off the bench. I mean, he would, if that happens, he's doing it begrudgingly. I'm sure to the media, he'll say, you know, whatever the team needs. But he's not going to want to do that. But I actually think it's their best option. He's best at the five. Powell's getting older.
What if you had Powell come off the bench?
Powell doesn't want to do that.
Why is he matter any more than Joakim?
Why does he matter more than Joakim? Good question. Powell's got a player option. Maybe you want him to stick around. Joe's a free agent who's going to – I bet Joe ends up back in New York. I bet the Knicks pay him a ton of dough.
The Knicks pay Joakim a ton of dough?
Yeah, I do.
No shot.
Why do you say no shot?
Because I don't think he's healthy. Who's paying a non-healthy guy a ton of dough?
I talked to a lot of people around Noah that work out with him. They don't believe that he's and maybe, you know, they're not going to say he's done to me. I get it.
Well, but like Joe Colley wrote this weekend, and those people who doubted Joakim that thought his knees were just a flesh wound. Sounds like that's pretty severe.
He had moments this year where he looked plenty good. He just never really found his timing. I'm not willing to. I'm not writing him off.
Would you trade him?
Would I trade? It wasn't the right deal, sure. But I don't. That deal's not coming your way. And I love Noah. Heart and soul of the team. I don't want him going anywhere. But sure, I mean, none of them are. I'd trade anyone on that team. None of these guys should be untouchable at this point. You got to rework the roster. But I think somebody's going to pay Noah a significant chunk of change, and that means probably that he'll end up
5-year max deal?
I don't know about that. But look at the money that's going around. I mean, Jackal's saying to me, Robin Lopez got 54. So, and who would you rather have, Robin Lopez or Joakim Noah? The answer to that is Joakim Noah.
If he's healthy.
5 years, $70 million, whatever it's going to be. And salary cap's going up. Noah's going to get a bunch of dough.
Hey, Wintrust loves good rivalry. Who doesn't? I know I do. Here in Chicago, we've got one of the best. Cubs, Sox, Northside, Southside, Blue versus Black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago, and decide for your side with a Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit card, so you can show your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. How cool is that? Plus, you can cheer for your team by tweeting or Instagramming with hashtag DecideCubs or hashtag DecideSox. When you choose, either online or in the bank, you'll help Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online to see whose fans are cheering the loudest and learn more at Wintrust.com/YouDecide. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks. Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox trademarks used with permission. Member FDIC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Welcome back. Cap and Haw show continues on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. Ben Finfer on the text line says, hey, Cap, don't mean to rain on your parade, but wouldn't the Pope be a Cardinals fan? Interesting point, Finji. Love you, buddy. Miss you. 312-235-2525. Brian Geltzeiler is an outstanding NBA host on Sirius XM NBA Radio and kind enough to join us again here on Cap and Haw. Brian, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, guys. How you doing this morning?
We're doing very, very well. Let's start with our Chicago Bulls, and then we'll move around the league, okay? Sound good to you?
Sounds good to me.
All right, let's start with the Bulls. I look at this team, And, yes, got Jimmy back for 95, potentially over 5 with that last year being an option. They got Dunleavy re-signed, and they'll get some type of a backup point guard. I just don't think, as deep as the team is, it's good enough to beat Cleveland. So why go through this exercise and not start to rebuild now?
Very good question. Part of the reason is that I think that you have no one the last year of a deal. Rose is in the second to last year of a deal. And I think seeing those two deals through makes the most sense. You have Gasol, who's, I mean, granted, it's a player option for the third year. Depending upon the year he has, he may exercise it. But when you have some of your higher paid players, and now you really didn't have a choice on paying Butler, you might as well see this thing through at Rose and Noah and see what happens. I mean, you know, because to get back to this point, it's going to take a heck of a lot. And so I don't necessarily blame them for not doing the rebuild now. I just think they have to do something with this roster still. I know they're capped out, and they don't have anywhere really to go, but I think they have to look at the trade market. The Bulls got a gift here, guys, with Bobby Portis. I mean, Bobby Portis is not the quality of a number 22 player in the first round in this draft, and he's going to be able to contribute immediately. But with where they are with bigs between Noah and Gasol and Mirotic and Gibson and now Portis, they got a lot up front, and I would like to see them go out and make a deal. Taj Gibson contract, you know, I know he just had ankle surgery. Taj Gibson's contract is a competitive one, and a team like the Clippers, they could use Taj Gibson in the worst way. Gibson's a guy who could have a lot of value out there, even coming off ankle surgery. It may not be a bad idea to try to see if they can use that as a trade chip.
So you think you could get a J.J. Redick perhaps for Taj Gibson? That would give you a shooter, a guy that can play both guards, little combo action. I mean, the Bulls are supposedly interested in Jeremy Lin, but he's looking at Dallas because he's got a strong relationship with Chandler Parsons after playing with him in Houston. They definitely – you can't just go into the season with just Kirk Heinrich behind Derek and Jimmy. Do you think that would be something that could match up?
It's possible. I don't know that the Clippers would part with Redick for Gibson, especially coming off ankle surgery, but I'll tell you who they would part with, and that's Jamal Crawford. And that's a guy I know has been in Chicago before. I know the Bulls have kicked the tires on him in the past. Here's the thing about the guy that you bring in to back up Rose, I think needs to be able to play with Rose as much as he needs to be able to play for him. Jamal Crawford fits that bill. I think would be an interesting guy there and would give the Bulls that kind of scoring punch off the bench that they've pretty much lacked. They need a shot maker. And Crawford, although the shot selection isn't wonderful, the defense at times isn't great, he is absolutely a shot maker. And Crawford's the type of guy that will fit much better in a Fred Hoiberg system than he ever would have fit in a Tom Thibodeau system. And that may be the best they can do for Gibson. I think if that's the best they can do, they need to go out there and do it, because ultimately the embarrassment of riches that they have up front, that's fine, but it's not necessarily an efficient roster. You got to find a way to improve here.
Brian, when you look at the team as it transitions from Thibs to Freddie Hoiberg, tell people how different they're going to look as a team on the court, and how do you think that impacts the record in the playoff run?
Well, I don't think they're going to be the same defensive team. I just don't. I think that defensively, this is going to be a not as good a basketball team. I think Thibodeau's system was terrific. Even last year, they fell off a little bit. A big part of that was based upon personnel, and maybe they had tuned Tom's message out a little bit. I think the defense probably gets a little bit worse, but it's going to be a much more fun team to watch offensively. Much more of an up-tempo system. A lot more three-pointers are going to be attempted. So I think record-wise, you're probably looking at a similar level for the Bulls. So much of what the Bulls do year in and year out here is based upon health. They're going to have a healthy Rose. Are they going to have a healthy Noah? I mean, 2 years ago, Noah was terrific. Last year, guys, frankly, he stunk. He really did. And you can blame whatever you want to blame, knee surgery and Thibodeau working him too hard, which I've always felt was nonsense. Nonetheless, Noah was not an effective player last year. So if they have to be healthy to be able to really be at their peak. And even then, I look at what Hoiberg is going to bring and for what they're going to gain an offense, they're going to borrow from defense. It's kind of borrowing from Peter to pay Paul.
Let's look at Cleveland, and now supposedly rumored and try to get Joe Johnson through Brendan Haywood, and you also got LeBron waiting for the Cavs to give Tristan Thompson his deal, and Dan Gilbert's going to pay through the nose this year. Do you think that if they are able to get Joe Johnson, that means that J.R. Smith is no longer there? How do you think that plays out?
If they sign Joe Johnson, there's no place for J.R. Smith there. Or if they trade for Joe Johnson, there's no place for J.R. Smith there.
Right.
So I think absolutely that is the way that goes. Thompson will be back there at the amount of money James wants him back there at, which will be 5 years and $80 million. I think that's absolutely going to happen. What's happening here, and I think where I understand Cleveland's trying to push back a little bit on James for a variety of reasons. Number one, they don't want to let him control everything, but I think that's a futile battle. They're going to have to let him control everything. And number two, I think they kind of, one of the things that the Cavs are looking at, and rightfully so, is they made a huge mistake last year in the fall. For a couple huge mistakes. Number one, James wanted them to give big money to Thompson then. They decided not to do that and play the year out. James was very unhappy because Thompson's represented by Rich Paul. James has a meaningful financial stake in that agency. So for James, there's ulterior motives at work here. But the reality is they didn't give Thompson. Now they're going to give Thompson a lot more money. Plus, they went and threw him a bone by signing Varejao to what's a really bad contract right now. And that Varejao contract, when you look at everybody else they have to bring back, and Shumpert at $10 million a year, and Kevin Love getting a max deal, and now with Thompson, and you're talking about Joe Johnson, that Varejao deal is expensive. That, because all the luxury tax tacked onto that $10 million a year, they'd be much better off if they didn't have Anderson Varejao under contract. I think that's one of the things they're trying to get, see if James will work with Thompson on, maybe to take a little bit less, so they're not hung up on the Varejao deal. LeBron doesn't want to hear it. So it's really kind of become a bizarre situation there, and how James is really using his leverage of a two-year deal with a one-year opt-out to run the show there. And in the end, the Cavs, as much as they want to push back, they're powerless. What LeBron wants, LeBron will get.
Talking to Brian Geltzeiler from SiriusXM NBA Radio, the fraud that is Phil Jackson. I just laugh that this guy could swindle $60 million out of Jim Dolan, and he's done nothing there except tear it completely apart. Does he know what he's doing in this role?
A little bit. I mean, Phil Jackson's got a problem. And listen, I don't think he's done a wonderful job. I think last year that Dallas trade ended up being a poor trade, and he has himself stuck with the Calderon contract. The Felton contract was half the value. They're both useless players. So that was a bad job by him. I actually think this year, you know, it's personally hired the wrong coach. I mean, he's made a lot of mistakes. For what happened in free agency, I don't think he did the worst job in the world, because players are prioritizing winning, guys. They want to go to winning programs. If you're going to go to a program, you want to know that you can come there and make that team a 50-win team, a 55-win team, and make it a title contender. That's what players want. Then no one's transforming the Knicks from a 17-win team to a 55-win title contender. It's just not happening. So Jackson had to face that reality, the reality that even a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge wouldn't even meet with him. DeAndre Jordan did it, but it was a waste of time for a favor. So Phil went to a second tier. Now listen, do I love the Lopez contract? I don't, but he's a good player. I wouldn't have given him 4 years, but I understand why Phil did that, and in the end, it's probably not going to be a bad move, because it's movable if he wants to move it. I don't like Aflalo as a player. I don't mind the contract. Same with Derek Williams. I mean, Phil hasn't done a horrible job here. The problem is he doesn't want Anthony on this team, and he's stuck with him. The owner made him re-sign Anthony. His rhetoric last year, guys, you heard it. He didn't want Anthony on this team. He's got Anthony on this team. And right now, Anthony's untradeable. Now, the good news for Phil, and Phil's draft pick, by the way, was not something that was based upon having Anthony on the team. That was something totally independent of that. Now, the good news for the Knicks, next year the cap goes up. Everybody in the entire league is going to have a max slot available. Anthony will have trade value at that point. One further year into his deal, if he doesn't get hurt and puts up a good year, Phil can actually go get something for him next year in the offseason. And that'll be great for the Knicks, because then he can actually build this thing in earnest. The other thing is you got to worry about is if Phil's still going to be there. I mean, Dolan's undermining him at every front. You know, Isaiah Thomas is in the mix there, and certainly in Dolan's ear. So that's the other thing is you know, Phil's starting to build something. Doesn't want Anthony involved. But at one point or another, especially if they make him fire his coach, which may end up happening if the Knicks get off to a slow start, that could be the end for Phil. They let Phil see this thing through, he actually may end up doing okay, but Phil's got a lot of different battles to fight in New York, and it's just part and parcel of how dysfunctional that entire Knicks organization is.
Okay, I'll trade you Joakim Noah, and you give me Carmelo back.
Yeah, that's fine. Done. Great, because you know what? If I'm the Knicks in that spot, I have Noah's contract expiring next year, and I have a clean slate to go build this thing with guys that I want to have that fit the way I want to play. Now, listen, I think it's absurd that you're using as a criteria to bring players in how they fit the triangle offense. Get the best talent that you can, and then work a system around that. With all that said, what Phil really needs here is a clean slate. If he has a clean slate, he'll go take proper risks on players and see what he can do, and maybe use that to leverage himself into some draft picks. But the reality is, right right now. If you can get out of Anthony's contract right now, you do it. But I don't think, in the end, listen, that would put the Bulls well into the tax, and that'd be a lot of tax money for the Bulls to pay. I don't think the Bulls would ever do that. I think they'll be thrilled to get out from under Noah's contract next year. But heck, if you're the Knicks, get all over it.
Brian, you mentioned LaMarcus Aldridge and DeAndre Jordan a minute ago. First of all, did Aldridge leave because of Damian Lillard, or did he leave because he never thought he could win there? And DeAndre, Chris Paul, really? He's given a high five to everybody on the court except for DeAndre? I mean, I know he wants to score more too, but that's really poor on Chris Paul's part if that played a part in him leaving.
Absolutely. Let's start with Aldridge. It's all of the above for Aldridge. He didn't think he could win a title there, and he didn't believe in Lillard as the guy to be paired with. You know, Damian Lillard's only 3 years in the league, and he has been kind of anointed as the second coming, maybe a little bit before he's deserved to be. He's a very poor defensive player, and I think where Aldridge really felt the slight is that the season before this season, the Blazers were a very together team. But as time went on, the need to shamelessly promote Lillard as the face of the franchise really chafed Aldridge the wrong way, and it had an effect on how Lillard played on the floor. And you had things with Lillard, you know, the whole perceived slight with the Olympic team, and Lillard was on a personal mission there. Then when he at first didn't make the All-Star team, and it becomes a lot about where Portland was all about the value of team, and Aldridge played into that. This is a guy to finish the season with a broken thumb. I mean, so Aldridge played into all that. Damian Lillard kind of didn't. It was Damian Lillard's show. So I think Aldridge had determined that he did not want to be a long-term partner with Lillard in that situation where he felt like he was right the better player, but was taking kind of the Robin seat to Lillard's Batman. That was not comfortable for him. So, Damian, part of it is Lillard, and part of it's how Portland treated Lillard. What happened with the Clippers is Chris Paul, man, deserves to be fried over this. You want to talk, the way I describe Chris Paul, guys, he's Kobe without the rings. You want to be this derisive leader that's going to get on guys on the floor and be harsh and tough and all in the name of you being a competitor. You better be able to find ways to lead that team to wins. And to take a player as important to the Clippers is DeAndre Jordan. And turn him turn him off to the team. Now, granted, Paul didn't like his work ethic, thought he should have worked harder on the free throws. That all may be true, but you cannot let the guy feel alienated to this extent. Think about what Chris Paul was able to do here. And part of it's on Doc, guys. Part of it is also on Doc for letting Chris Paul run amok in that locker room and letting him have the type of power that he had before Doc even got there. Doc never reined that in, and that's a big issue. But think about what DeAndre Jordan did here. He left a place, number one, that he had the best chance to win a title at. Number two, that he could make the most money. Number three, that his best friend on the planet was at, Blake Griffin. Paul turned him off that much to the Clipper organization that those three items that you would think most players would prioritize, Jordan walked away from because Jordan's ego is so bruised, he feels a need to try to have to be more of a solution on a team and play a larger role. And I think DeAndre Jordan made a mistake. This could go very bad for both sides with Jordan and with the Mavericks. But I'll tell you something. They need to reevaluate the role Chris Paul plays on that team and in that locker room because, frankly, to turn a guy off in this situation that you need as desperately as they need Jordan is an absolute disaster for the Clippers.
Brian, appreciate the time as we let you go. Tom Thibodeau will be the head coach of who next?
The New York Knicks.
Wow. Back where he was once the assistant.
Yes, the New York Knicks. My personal opinion is that as soon as the Knicks turn the page on Phil Jackson or he turns the page on them and Isaiah comes and takes over, that's going to be Isaiah's number one choice. And I think Tom jumps all over that opportunity.
Appreciate the time. Keep up the great work.
Always my pleasure, guys.
Take care. See you, buddy. There he is, Brian Geltzeiler from Sirius XM NBA Radio.
Be a big job for Tibbs. Taking over those New York Knickerbockers.
How about that?
He's going to be somewhere next year.
Oh, I forgot to ask him about Jason Kidd, who's now going to be the GM. So what happens to our guy,
Johnny Hammond,
who I knew when he was the assistant at Southwest Missouri?
John Hammond's got nine lives. He'll find something. Maybe they'll slide him over into another spot. I mean, he's been the GM of the Pistons. He's been the GM of the Bucks. I want to say he was with the Clippers way back in the day. He's had a long run, John Hammond.
By the way, coming up today on Comcast Sportsnet. Hang on a second there, Mikey. I got to find it, buddy. Sports Talk Live, 5:30. We'll be live at U.S. Cellular for Mark Burley, Chris Sale. As Chris goes for his ninth consecutive double-digit strikeout game, being an all-time major league record. Sportsnet Central at 6:30. White Sox, Blue Jays at 7. Cubs Cards tomorrow at 7. Holly and I will have the postgame for you. And Sports Talk Live tomorrow, live from the ballpark.
How are you going to get over to Wrigley Field right from U.S. Cellular, Cappy?
Get off at 6:30, get in the car, and drive.
I like you on a red line. I like you driving up to Wrigley. I like you parking the car, getting set, riding it down south, relaxing, taking a couple deep breaths.
That's actually not a bad idea. I never thought of that. Park at Wrigley, take the train all the way to U.S. Cellular.
And then come on back.
That's a pretty good idea, Mark.
Thank you, David. See, I'm adding value to your life. That's what I'm here for.
Pretty good.
A lot of effort, though. Where are you going?
All my notes all over. I got so many pages of stuff here. Kevin Hall brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That's the triple crown of lawyering. Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. These guys win. 312-235-2525. Maybe play a little page two in about 10 minutes. We'll get to all that, plus four of your calls. 312-235-2525. Be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
That's back.
That's high and deep in the left field. He jumps and makes a catch. Davis, yesterday and today. Beautiful play by J.B. Shuck. Hey, hey, whoa,
hey, hey, hey. One call on Comcast Sportsnet, one on WGN TV. White Sox take 2 of 3 from the Baltimore Orioles. J.B. Shuck with a great catch, and Avisiel Garcia with a sick catch over the fence to bring back a game-tying home run.
I like the enthusiasm that he was showing after he made the catch. Not dead yet, those White Sox.
There you go.
Don't bury him.
Welcome back to Cap and Haw. Carmen for David Haw, who's on vacation. 312-235-2525. Mark will be here all week. Thursday, Friday, when I leave to go on vacay, Mark and Connor McKnight, the night game, will be put back together for a couple days.
Very rare that you get an opportunity to reconvene a night game into a day slot.
You know? And are you on next week when I'm gone?
That is the, I believe that is the plan, yes.
Busy guy, Mark Carmen.
Yeah. Well, doing what I can
swollen
here, Cap.
Swollen bank account.
Oh, yeah.
312-235-2525 is the phone number. By the way, Edward Gliwa says, hey, Cap, I've parked by Sox Park to take the train to the Cubs game despite being a Sox fan. Real easy to go red line to one park to the next.
Yep, little nice trip, Cappy.
So how much faster would it be if I took the train from Wrigley at like 3 o'clock down to Sox Park? How long would it take me?
You would have, that's probably about a 20-minute L ride, I would think.
That's it?
Okay, fine, 30. 30 minutes, let's go 30. Half hour. But so you're going to have to...
It goes right to Sox Park?
Yes. Yes, Dave.
I've never done
my
this.
My God. Yes.
I drive everywhere.
And yes, you get off at 35th. You can
I know
see,
that part
you can
it.
See the stadium.
So hold on a minute. I could literally park my car in my spot at Wrigley in the media parking.
Yeah.
Walk over by like Sports Corner or whatever that is where the train is.
Right.
Jump on, yeah. And that train, I don't have to change trains, will take me right to Sox Park.
Red line right through, pal. Now you can bring something to read. You can have a hole. You can sit there on your watch and talk to people, whatever you do. Although when it does go underground, service can be dicey at times. Want to make sure that
you can watch an episode of House of Cards.
Yes, you could do that. I would think.
By the way, season 3 comes out on iTunes tomorrow.
Right, and then you can get off, walk up,
plane flight,
walk up the steps, walk into the old ballpark, do your show, and then come on out. I don't see this happening, but yes, you can.
I'm going to do this.
Really?
Because do you know how long it's going to take me to pull out of the parking lot at White Sox Park?
And then you got
to
get off at
U.S. Cellular.
It's a nightmare because you'll be there right at game time.
Correct. To get from there all the way up to Wrigley.
Yep.
Brutal.
Nope. Right, and that at that point. Getting off at Belmont it's rough. Or Irving. It'll take you a long time. You're probably going to save time here, Cap, certainly on the back end.
I would say if I get off at 6:30 from TV,
mm-hmm.
Walk to the train. Train runs, what, every 10 minutes?
I think that's it's a 3 to 8 minuter. So say you're on the train at 6:45. You're at Wrigley.
I got a chance to be in the ballpark by 7:20.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, David. By the way, it's a big night for your battling Cubbies. You, 8 over, 80 games in.
It's pretty good.
Like entrenched in the second wild card right now. Nice, solid.
It gets you
to three in it. Three game
pace lead? Right now for
2.5.
89-90 wins.
Right.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, you changing your feeling of be measured. Don't perhaps take a little bit larger of a risk than you. Then maybe you would.
I wouldn't go crazy because I don't think they're good enough offensively. Yeah, it'd be great to have Cole Hamels, who threw shutout baseball yesterday. And it would be great to go get another bullpen arm. Don't forget Soriano's coming. He's cleared his visa issues.
They're not getting enough credit, by the way, for just plucking Clayton Richard off the Pirates. Hey, can we have that guy in AAA?
Well, because he had a clause in his contract that they either had to bring him up or let him go if someone else wanted him.
Well, okay, and then that's a great job by them knowing his contract, seeing how he's doing in AAA, using their scouting department, realizing that that guy's better than anyone we have. Yeah, we'll take the guy off the team right in front of us, and we're going to start him on Saturday night. And he ends up, no, Chris Bryant went crazy, but he ended up pitching well, and you get a win. This guy might stay in the... I mean, he's got shoulder issues, but he looked good Saturday night. I think they deserve some credit for that.
They do.
That was...
Yeah, I think, yes, they need another starter, but getting a bat is exceptionally important. Huge.
Jorge Soler could be that guy, but just doesn't look like he's going to be that guy. They need a bat regardless, but, like, he was...
Like to see him go get a center fielder. Is there a center fielder they could go get?
And then what are you going to do with Fowler? Trade him?
He's okay. He's not great.
No, he's not. But that's your leadoff guy. You take him out of there, even though he's not. He's on base with 350.
I think they need a bat. They need a big time bat that can drive in runs.
They need one more in the corners to me than they do in center.
Coughlin's been okay.
He's been okay. I don't mind Coughlin. Coughlin's a fourth outfielder. There's no way that Chris Coughlin should ever be batting fourth in your order.
Not fourth. I don't disagree.
Well, and it's happened a bunch of times this year.
Agreed.
So that great fourth outfielder can, you know, play the corners, probably can survive in center as well. By the way,
Jacko makes a good point. David Ross, 7-day concussion list.
Yeah, that's a little dicey right there. I mean, he's had problems before, and he was worried that one more foul ball and he's going to miss 2 months. Now it's, you know, not a huge deal. Guy's hitting under 200. But he's a big leader in that clubhouse, and he's, you know, him and John Lester, they, you know, hold hands every day. So you don't want, that's a guy you don't want to lose. Plus, obviously, you let Wellington go earlier in the year, so you're a little thin. Who do they bring up? What's it, Teagarden?
Taylor Teagarden.
Teagarden. You want David Ross to, that's scary, man, anytime with the head and you're back there catching and bats are swinging and foul balls are being shot at you. That's, and you're an older guy like that. And you've had problems before.
And he's such a big presence in their clubhouse. Because I got friends of mine that go, these guys not that good. By the way, John Lester pitches tonight. So that should be interesting against John Lackey.
He is a guy who's mentally strong, but yet there's like...
Who?
Lester.
He's intense. Exceptionally intense.
I don't know what exactly is going on with him, but he's just a little bit off.
I like him. I like him. I think he's a good dude to talk to. I enjoy talking to him.
I like him too. I'm pro Lester, but he hasn't had the year. He hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't had the year that you were hoping for either.
No, not yet. He was really good his last start. We'll see how he is. Tonight's the night that a beautiful night at Wrigley, hopefully. Hopefully the rain holds off. Tonight's the kind of night you pay John Lester to go out and beat the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's what he's here for. And by the way, props to Kyle Hendricks, who was down for a while himself, is now pitching great. I love that guy.
He was dirty yesterday.
He's like a really, 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 really poor man's Greg Maddux.
Yeah.
Like, you know, doesn't have the – older Maddux,
that
too.
That kind of.
Because when Maddux was young, he could actually throw the fastball.
Ivy League guy as well. Very intelligent.
Little nice
like
late.
Like Greg about the game.
Love a late movement of a Kyle
Hendricks. Let's grab Fred in Northbrook. Hey, Fred. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, guys. I wanted to comment on your discussion before about whether you leave Chicago to go to a higher-paying job in some city.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a native of Chicago, and I love Chicago, and my family lives here. But a consideration to me would be the financial well-being of my entire family, including myself, and my ability to give money to my family while I'm living or upon my death. And if there's a significant difference in what I can earn away for being out of Chicago for a while, then I think very much I would do that. As much as I like staying in Chicago,
so if somebody,
I always would return to Chicago at some point, maybe after a few years, maybe later.
So if somebody came to you, Fred, and said, we're going to take you and we're going to pay you, I don't know what you make, but we're going to pay you $6 million a year, and you're in the prime of your career, and you go, you know what, I'll leave. I'll take the 6 years for $6 million, and then I've got that money. I could take care of anyone I really care about, and then you can hang them up and come back and live your life here.
That's right.
Interesting point.
Okay.
Thanks, Fred. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. Bye.
See you later.
Oh. I got out my father.
Was that your dad?
That was my father. Yes, I have no idea. Never. That was the most lucid call that he's ever made to any program that I've been on. Normally, he comes down and rips me. Yeah, Mark, don't completely disagree with everything you're saying. The program's fine. Click. He did
Fred
that.
Fred Karman. I'm a big Fred Karman guy.
I know you are.
I like Fred Karman. We don't agree politically.
I'm a big Fred Karman guy, too.
I like the debate with him at the Thanksgiving table.
That was fascinating.
That was phenomenal.
Yes, it was.
Brian in Uptown. Hey, Brian, what's going on there? Sparkles?
Hey, not much. Just got a quick comment on the Cubs needing a bat. Well, two things. They've got a bat sitting down in AAA right now in Kyle Schwarber.
Where are you playing him?
And you can play him in right if you want, but now with Ross on the DL.
Hold on a minute. You make it sound like playing. Just throw him in right. Right is an exceptionally hard position that he's never played. It's not that easy.
Okay. Sure. Well, but you still need the bat. So I would try that. Uh-huh. But again, why are we still doing the personal catcher thing? Ross cannot hit. So every time you have Lester on the mound and Ross is in, you basically have two guaranteed outs coming out of that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I would try Schwarber up here. I mean, he can't be that bad of a catcher, is he?
He's not ready to catch at this level. He's not.
Right.
David Ross is a veteran behind the plate who understands how to catch John Lester and understands how to catch at the major league level and how to game plan. Kyle Schwarber's not ready or he'd be here.
Okay. All right. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a good day. See you.
They'd love to have Kyle Schwarber here. It just, I would think, right? I
mean, he's not ready.
They brought him up to be a DH. They found a spot to bring him. If he could do it and play the outfield, they do it.
Hey, get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in to App today, ABT. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them up at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop where we shop. It's App, ABT. App.com. At Pleasing People since 1936. Ask for the one and only Steve Shapiro. Page 2, coming up. Be right back.
Read all about it.
We're desperate for stories. And this one is so compelling.
This is Page 2.
All right, welcome back. Cap'n Hawk. Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus, D-Haw on vacation. Mark Karman is here all week long. I'll let you start tonight.
All right.
This morning.
Cappy, by the way, I just did a little Googling for you. That's a 28-minute ride from your 35th to your Addison. So there you go.
28 minutes?
28 minutes, buddy. So you can make the move. All right. So I'll start NBA then. Do you know who Kim Hughes is? Fine assistant coach, or formerly the assistant coach of the Portland Trail Blazers. Things you should not do in life. Talking to the media before teams make
things. Kim Hughes. I used to know him as a college coach.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Where did he coach in college?
God, I'm trying to remember where I knew him from. I can't remember. I'd have to look.
Guy's chilling out in his off-season home in Terre Haute, Indiana, and WTHI, radio station out there. He just talks to one of the reporters, and he says, we didn't publicize it, but we lost LaMarcus Aldridge. It hasn't been declared yet, but I'm sure he won't come back. We will go young. That was 5 days before LaMarcus Aldridge announced that he was going to San Antonio, and now your guy, K. Kim Hughes, is actually looking for work because the Portland Trailblazers were not thrilled. Never talk to the media.
So,
and why would you publicize that if you were WTHI, by the way?
Yeah, that you outed him.
You would just you cost the dude the job. I mean, come on. But, you know, that's why those media people Always got to pay attention. They're like, you tell them something like that, they'll just go right on the air. Next thing you know, KQ Hughes is he's looking for work. Okay.
Wow. Attention, Bulls. Cavaliers considering trading for Brooklyn net Joe Johnson with their Brendan Haywood contract chip. Haywood has $10.5 million in non-guaranteed dollars if waived before August 1, an asset that's gained in value over the last several days as other teams use up their cap space. Cavs have been looking for perimeter help with Haywood's contract, and Johnson would certainly provide a major boost as an additional scoring and shooting option. In addition, LeBron waiting for the Cavs to reach agreement on an extension with Tristan Thompson, thought to be a max deal, before he re-signs with the team, while the Cavs also have huge interest in David West. So where's all the money coming from?
They're all over the map. I don't know. I'm not a salary cap expert, how they can slip into David West and then perhaps go have Tristan Thompson and then go get Joe Johnson. The only thing I really understand more than anything is that big money for Dan Gilbert in the luxury taxes. And if the Cavs don't win it, that'll be quite disappointing for everybody involved because they certainly are pulling out all the stops. Except, how about Adam Eaton? Very cool story from the Sox game.
That was very cool.
On this was Saturday the 4th. White Sox, of course, get the huge win over the Orioles. Huge in the fact that Avisail Garcia made a play that saved the day. So before the game, you had different uniformed military personnel on the field, including Air Force Captain Zachary Eaton, who, yes, is the older brother of Adam Eaton. So Adam looking out at his older brother and then, quote, that was a little shocking when I first came out. I knew he was going to be here, but for him being in uniform like that kind of brought a tear to my eye. It was something special for me. So the White Sox honoring members of the military by stationing them on the field on the 4th. And Adam's older brother, I did not know, was in the Air Force like that. Pretty cool story by
very
the White
cool.
Sox. Yeah,
very cool.
Absolutely.
Also, Theo Epstein had this to say about the upcoming trade deadline on Friday to reporters. You have to be creative, you have to be patient, and you have to be understanding. And you have to recognize that the trade deadline is not a panacea. You know what that is, Mark?
I believe that means cure, Dave.
A cure-all, correct. Yeah. It's just getting a ton of attention for natural reasons. But if you go back and look, it's rarely the defining factor. Now, it's funny coming from Theo because in 2004, when he traded Nomar Garciaparra to the Cubs in a three-way deal with the Montreal Expos at the time, the Cubs put a bunch of guys into that deal, and Orlando Cabrera ended up with Boston, made them a better defensive team. They went on to win the World Series. So it was a panacea to a degree.
Sounds like he doesn't want to really dial up the pressure on anything going on here. We're going to be real active. We're looking to add on.
He just doesn't want to send out that big beacon. We're buying. We're buying.
Is he losing a little bit of hair on the old?
He is.
He is, right?
Yeah.
I was watching him the other day. He was out in front of the dugout. I'm like, you're losing it back there, buddy.
Thinning.
See, Theo is actually human.
Maybe someday he'll be like this.
I mean, how much would you have left? Would you have a whole side on both sides there?
I wouldn't have a lot.
Well, really?
No.
Okay.
Like, it would fill in over here and on the sides, not much up top, and I hate the horseshoe. I think the horseshoe's a horrible look.
You used to have that horseshoe with that little blade of grass up top. That was strong.
It was bad.
Mindy saved your life on
she
that
did.
One.
She did.
You look good now, Cappy. Look at you. Just shining.
Way better than that horrible hair I had.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. All right, let's go a little NFL and my guy Dwayne Bowe, who I used to cover back in my Kansas City days. Dwayne was never exactly a guy who spoke of the very interesting, highly intelligent comments. I love him, but Dwayne had his own way of looking at life that never really seemed to make sense. This one, he's through Cleveland.com. He's now with the Browns, and he's talking about Josh McCown, my guy, who has a great chance to be the starting quarterback there. Quote, Dwayne Bowe, I never had a quarterback like Josh that was tall and could see the mismatch and really got to it. He's got my confidence level high right now. Hold on a second here. Now, Josh McCown is listed at 6'4", and that's awful generous, but he did play with Matt Castle, who I believe is taller than McCown. I got to double-check that, but I've stood next to both of them. Matt Castle, Josh McCown, basically the same quarterback. And, I mean, it's nice that he's trying to compliment his guy. But the height of Josh McCown is not exactly going to propel. Yeah, Matt Castle is 6'4", by the way. They're of the same height. So he's reaching big time here.
Big Dwayne, time. Big Dwayne, time. Dwayne big time Bo- reach. Dwayne Bowe's a talented guy, too.
Yeah, he's...
Never quite lived up to what everyone thought he could be.
Hashtag the Debo Show.
Look what he did with McGowan last year.
Thank you very much. Also, how about this one? Former Bucks cornerback Rondae Barber, who's been watching Bucks workouts, has high praise for famous Jameis via JoeBucksFan.com. Jameis plays with zero fear. He'll let go of any ball. He has that confidence. I've played against guys that have supreme confidence in themselves and their ability to make plays. You can already see it. He has no fear letting the ball go. How good do you think he's going to be?
I don't have. I'm not super high on my prediction. Where are you going with it?
I actually think he's going to be better than people think. How can he stay out of trouble is the big question.
Right.
I think he's going to be a pretty darn good quarterback. I do.
I was shocked to hear that Jameis is as intelligent. That as he is, with all his off field, you didn't think the words. This guy is the smartest quarterback going. He can see the field. He reads things better than any quarterback that's coming out of college football in the last however long. That was surprising. He certainly has the talent. We'll see.
We'll find out.
I want to just throw in one thing that we haven't done this today, Cappy. They had fireworks at Wrigley Field on Saturday night, which was awful White Sox-esque, and I know that.
Why is it White Sox?
Because they have had fireworks at U.S. Cellular / Comiskey Park since, I don't know when
it
started.
If you told me that the Cubs were doing it when they hit a home run, okay, I'm with you. Because they did it on 4th of July because they had a rare 4th of July night game? That's a weak take.
Well, I think it was very well received, right? People enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So maybe with all their new gadgets over there, maybe they should add in the firework. Maybe that should
just keep Harry on the Jumbotron and I'm good.
Harry on the Jumbo, and maybe they make a Monday night, fireworks night. Maybe.
I don't know who's singing tonight. I'm going to the game as a fan after I get done with work. I would like to see Harry on the Jumbotron tonight, Cubs Cardinals.
Yes, you would. Have you ever sung it yourself?
I have twice.
You've done it twice.
Yeah.
Grading your performance on a Yelp review.
F.
What would you say? F, really?
Scary. It's a scary performance.
Did you enjoy yourself or were you nervous the whole time?
I was more nervous the first time than I was the second.
All right.
All right, we're out of here. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Kev.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Later.
All right. Well, see you later.